The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Hello, everybody. We are back again with 8 days a week, bro. This show is a little ditty that gives you a sampling of everything going on at russosbrand.com and patreon.com/RussoTWC. Bro, remember, it's a sampling. There are many, 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 many more shows than just the ones that I'm going to talk about here, bro. And the beautiful thing is, bro, with russosbrand.com and patreon.com/RussoTWC, bro, you can get these monthly, literally monthly, for less than the price of a cup of coffee a week, bro. You get all these shows, bro. You get multiple personalities, bro. You get the beautiful people, bro. We just started with the beautiful people on the Realm Network. All the shows on the Realm Network are at russosbrand.com. The beautiful podcast, bro. Let's give this a listen, because this week, Angelina Love and Velvet Sky talk Sons of Anarchy and some rowdy and raunchy talk. Listen up, bro. Nobody, and I mean nobody, can deliver like the beautiful people.
Well, because I could just feel all the blood building up and I'm just like, whoa, and I can't look. But then just to feel that needle go in and just feel like the blood getting sucked out versus getting a tattoo.
Like when I had my son or whatever, and they put that in the top of your hand, that makes me want to die. Because I'm just like, I'm just going to leave my arm over here to hang. I'm not going to move my arm. Because if you feel that moving around your little hand bones, normal American accent. He's so beautiful. Ugh.
So fucking hot. But this is normal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know we both fangirled about this, too. I remember one day, again, this was back when Sons of Anarchy was, like, all over TV, all over, like, it was the it show. You and I both fangirled when we woke up one morning, and we were like, Kurt Sutter follows us on Twitter.
For those of you, we lost it.
Kurt Sutter is the writer, producer, creator of Sons of Anarchy. She will, like, retweet it and be like, act like she's still part of the company. You know what I mean? And that, like, I just sit and I chuckle because I'm like, this bitch thinks she's still relevant, like, to the business. She was never relevant to the business. She was just the money backer, you know? Like, that's all you ever were.
I find so much of that is just rooted in insecurity. And it's like, you know what? Go love you. Go love you.
Right.
Go love yourself first. And then, because you can't. You can't love somebody if you don't love yourself. Ooh, that's a big one. You cannot love somebody if you do not love yourself.
And it's so true. It's like the guys, they sweat the shit out of you, you know, because like they like your pictures or whatever. But then they get with you and it's like, oh, well, why are you dressing like that? Or why are you? It's like, motherfucker.
I've always done that.
That's why I love Angelina. That's why I love Velvet. There is no show like the beautiful podcast. Check that out. RussosBrand.com. Also on RussosBrand.com, the most controversial show on the worldwide interweb. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Just depends on what side of the fence you're sleeping on. This week on Castrating the Marks, we are joined by John Paz, and we discuss whether celebrities can bring new fans to wrestling and keep them. Let's go to that clip right now with John Paz. Okay, you got them there. Okay, now they're sampling your show. It's a shitty show, so they're not going to come back next week. It's like they're doing it for all the right reasons, but they don't understand you're driving the people to shit. So when they sample the shit, they're not coming back a second time. Bro, even if you would have gotten all Bad Bunny's people to check out Raw, you think they're going to get hooked on Raw? Like, seriously, bro? Like, it's the simplest concept in the world, man. bro, when it comes to business, these guys they're bankrupt. They don't understand how this shit works. Okay, bro, yes, some people may be interested in Shaq. Maybe they're hyping the crap out of it, you know, the NBA today with Barkley and those guys. Okay, bro, yeah, the NBA audience is going to tune over to watch Shaq wrestle. And what, bro, you're going to hook them with Jungle Boy? They're going to come back next week to see Marco Scudero? Like, are you nuts? Like, are you crazy, bro?
That was like my buddy, my good friend, my best friend, really. We used to go to all the shows. We went to Nitro. We went to Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view. We were first row at WrestleMania 15. Rock and Steve Austin literally fell on us. I mean, that's how close we were to the action. And I told him Sting was going to be on. He saw us. This was a few months ago, obviously. Huge Sting. Oh, I'm going to turn it on. Get his response. The next day, he goes, I don't think I'm going to watch it next week. He's like, I love this thing stuff. I liked it. It was okay. He goes, I didn't really like the rest of the show. So that exactly your point. He just completely gave up on it. He saw what he wanted to, saw it Sting, and then he was done.
Thank you, John. And no, bro, cool hip fans are not going to tune over to the WWE and stay tuned over, bro. Not going to happen. Let's go to Patreon, bro. Patreon.com/RussoTWC. We got Master Shoot Theater. Master Shoot Theater, guys, is a parody of what's really going on behind the scenes in Stamford, Connecticut at the WWE. The company is run by Vince. And on this edition of Master Shoot Theater, Vince is going horror after deciding that monsters are the future of professional wrestling. He is the great Bin Hameen and the great Stevie Richards. Here's a little sampling of Master Shoot Theater.
Why do you have Sun Yi written 100 times on your desk over here? What's that mean?
I couldn't remember Nakamura's name, so I just wrote Sun Yi.
Yes. Also, I know you text me about that. You said we need to team Sun Yi up with High Low and Side to Side.
Yeah, side to side, and we're going to put them against Team Titties and Biceps. It's going to be a big feud, pal.
So I noticed you were singing a version of the Monster Mash when I came in.
No, I wrote that song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what music here, pal.
So it's not Halloween, so I'm scared to ask why you're so excited about monsters.
Yeah, I was tuning into that new channel, Nick at Night, pal, and I had on some hot new monster movies on there I hadn't seen before. I said, that's where we need to go. We've got Nia Jax. She's a monster. We've got Braun. He's a monster, but we need more. Monsters are the future, pal. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get some blood suckers. We're going to get some creepy crawlers. We're going to get some old mummies, and we're going to put them all out there, pal. In fact, write that down. Bring back the mummy. He was great in WWE.
Bring back mummy. I'll write that down. Okay.
Zombie. So remember the zombie in ECW? He could come back too, pal.
I don't think he can come back. He's no longer with us.
Oh, well, I mean, there's more than one zombie, pal, isn't there? We can make another one.
Okay, well, you got over that one real quick. Yeah, no problem. Here comes a spirit.
I think. Yeah, come on in.
Vince, I got some questions about the show. Vince, I'm putting it together. I don't understand some things, Vince, because, Vince, your level of genius is way beyond any man, yeah. Vince. And that's why I come to you, Vince, when there are things I don't understand. Vince, first of all, today I received a resume from the Yeti. Vince, yep. I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to do with this. Do you know anything about this, Vince?
Oh, yeah. I had Bucci call him up, pal. We're trying to get them all back. I want the Yeti. I want Bigfoot, too, pal. I heard the UFC's got a guy named Bigfoot. We're going to get him, goddammit. And I'll tell you what, just for this month only.
All right, everybody, moving on. Another great Patreon show is Time Out with the Disco Inferno. And on this show, Disco talks about the Biden administration fingering the Saudi prince in the murder of a journalist. Now, guys, you remember it has been all speculation before, but now an official report has come out. Remember, the WWE is in business with this said Saudi prince. So there's a lot to discuss right here on Time Out with Disco Inferno.
He's the first, like, governmental person, you know, in the thing. And this is why he's, it's, you know, this is a very touchy situation. He is trying to make the effort to westernize his company, country.
Yeah, right.
You know, bro, going to see like concerts. I mean, there were so many things that were illegal to do
right
back then, and he's opening up his doors to Western entertainment, television, you know, and like, and this is unheard of. You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, opening the door for Western ideals is like an invitation for our culture to marry to, you know, it's like you're right. accepting parts of our culture,
right?
You know. But then you got the problematic thing here. This guy killed a journalist for speaking out against, you know. So say, so it's like you do risk reward in all of these situations, and you know, morally it's terrible, but financially for the United States and the firmament, you want them as an ally.
But that's why
you would want the richest people in the planet as your allies. You know?
That's why I find it odd that they're releasing this report. That's my whole thing. The government does want them as allies. They are the money marks. They do want to do business with them. That's why when I saw that the administration is going to release this report, I was kind of shocked, bro, because by them releasing this report, it's kind of the end of us doing business with Saudi
Arabia. Really. We kind of admitted it before. We just skated around answering the question. You got to go. If you go back to 2 years, bro, just all you got to do is just go back and look at the articles when this happened.
But it was
the exact same thing, and now we're admitting it. But that's
speculation. It was all speculation before.
Yeah, but it's a new story. But it's not a new story. It's regurgitating the same facts of an old story. Yeah. Is all that's happened here. And now the government's saying, yes, he did know about this, and he's the one probably that directed it. And there was obviously all the dots connected to him earlier, but they were like, we can't be, you know, unless we can prove it, now we can prove it unequivocally. And it's like, you know, okay, so these guys killed the journalist. You know, it's like.
So at this point, what happens? Guys, you can get that show on patreon.com/RussoTWC. Next, the Raw and SmackDown review. Myself, Stevie Richards, Ben Hameen, we take a close look of WWE programming for the week. This week, we lay out how WWE creative is failing Matt Riddle and John Morrison. Listen to the experts, bro, because on russosbrand.com, the pros are pros. Then we had Riddle, you know, beating Morrison. You know, why they're having this match? Who do you think is going to go over? Riddle just won the title. Just, you know, a massive waste of time to me.
Well, I want to stop you right there. If they did Morrison's character any justice, there would have been a slight doubt because he looks like a star, but he's been relegated to just being a goof. And speaking of goofs, I can't believe you skipped over the fact that the guy that just won the U.S. title rides away from the Lucha House Party on a scooter. What does that have to do? Like, you've really elevated yourself here, buddy. Didn't love that part.
No, it's brutal. And I thought it was not the worst choice having him go over. I wonder what happened with Dragon Lee in not being at the Elimination Chamber and taken from that match because there was no real stooge from it. And then they put him over where it would have been interesting to do it a different way. There's other choices there. But if you're going to elevate the guy and he's talking shit to The Undertaker and all these other legends online and getting heat, you don't have him like arguing that today's generation isn't soft and then have him ride off on a fucking scooter with the Lucha House Party. Make like, and that's the other thing. Like, is he Spicoli? Is he a laughing gimmick or is he a legit killer who could fucking beat the shit out of Goldberg and The Undertaker if he wanted to for real and choke him out? Are we going to get that guy? Because I don't want that guy to be a fucking goof wearing flip flops who kicks them off in slow motion, bro. That one doesn't wash the other. If you're a badass MMA fighter, go choke somebody the fuck out, stand over them and be a badass. You can't do, bro, let's go get stoned. And I'm a fucking badass, dude. Like, no, like those are two completely different lanes. that you're going to go down. So if you want to do these shoots at old timers who are badasses, then do that. I'm down for that. But you can't be the other comic fucking Stoner Spicoli thing at the same time, because you're feeding right into their argument.
Thank you, Stevie and Ben. And next up on Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco, also on russosbrand.com, the Realm Network, Disco responds to a story told about him by Teddy Long that the Steiner brothers actually tried to drown him. Is there any truth to this story? Let's listen to what Disco has to say.
From the two-man power trip, our buddy John Paz, an older episode that he had Teddy Long on, and they were talking about the Steiner brothers.
They wasn't no joke. Well, they tried to drown Disco Inferno, and the Disco Inferno, that kid, they hated him. They tried to drown him one time down, and we were down in Disney. And what
is that true, bro? They tried to drown you?
Absolutely not, bro. This is funny too. Okay, so let me tell you a story that happened. Maybe my first year, and this is like 95, maybe 96, early 96.
Did he say Disney? They tried to, like, in the Pirates of the Caribbean, they tried to drown him?
Let me tell you the story. This is, you know how when stories just get completely... Yes,
of course, right. Of course.
So Rick and Scott Steiner are the de facto locker room bullies, okay? And it's funny because they always used to pick on the Natural Born Thrillers, you know, stuff, because they were the green guys. And Rick Steiner used to pick on Ray a lot. Like Ravens, just like, you know, because he's the easiest guy to bully. He'd smack him, you know, like, just, but we knew that the Steiners were bullies, and their bully gimmick in the locker room was just like, okay, this is the Steiner Bros. This is what they do. There's stories in the past of them taking the nasty boys and pulling their pants down and throwing them out into the audience. You know, so they're just like, you know, they're like that, right? Like in battle royals, they get guys down and just hold them down there, and right, you know. So I was actually hanging out with Scott Steiner. Like, we were friends. We worked out at the same gym. We'd eat, a friend of his, the three of us would go eat a lot. And I'd go out to Steiner's, you know, he lived near the lake, and we go jet skiing together. And Steiner was the type of, you know, he's just like, the guy's nuts, you know. We'd be on the jet skis, and he would literally come on his jet ski and like bumper cars and knock me off the jet ski. Like crashing the jet out on the lake, you know, and I fly off the thing. Then when you're trying to swim to the jet ski to try to get back up on the jet ski.
Well, thank God the Disco Inferno is alive and well. And next is Vic Venom's Truth with Consequences on patreon.com/Russo TWC. Vic this week talks about how Drew McIntyre may be the worst booked WWE champion that he has ever seen. And one of the things I wanted to talk about today was, having followed this company since Bruno Sammartino, I got to tell you, the booking of their world champion, Drew McIntyre, has been the worst booking of any champion I have ever seen in the history of the World Wrestling Federation. They have completely dropped the ball on Drew McIntyre, who, in my opinion, should be at a Stone Cold Steve Austin status, should be the main eventer, should be the star of the show. Drew McIntyre has everything going on for him. He's got the body. He's got the looks. He's got the personality. He's got the work ethic. He knows how to work. He's the guy that is begging you to give him the ball and let him run with it. But in this case, the WWE gave him the ball and they failed Drew McIntyre miserably. I can remember when they first brought Drew back. The first time Drew came back, I said to myself, this is the guy. And I didn't even just say it to myself. I said it publicly. This is the guy. Thank you, Vic. Last but not least, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Show. Also on patreon.com/RussoTWC. Here, Billy Bate dives into 6 months of creative changes as they apply to WrestleMania. Let's listen to this exercise by Billy Bate. You won't get a report like this anywhere else.
Once they decided it was going to be Reigns versus Edge, there was a small period where they were just going to go back to Drew versus Sheamus. And the plan that I heard was going on through the course of that week was simply for Sheamus to lose the chamber and to beat the hell out of Drew after the chamber and not send Lashley out there at all. And for Miz to cash in after Sheamus had kicked the crap out of Drew. And then Sheamus beats Miz and he goes in as the champion. As much as we're saying that Sasha versus Bianca is the one constant, here are two other constants that have been existent throughout. Three others, actually. Charlotte has been in the Raw Women's title match, whether it's going to be against Oscar, whether it's going to be against Lacey Evans, or whether it's going to be now against Rhea Ripley. Charlotte has always been there. Roman Reigns has always been defending his belt as a heel. Drew has always been losing the belt and winning it back at Tampa in front of fans because they owe him that moment. And what else has been constant? And Bianca versus Sasha. So the final card here that I have at the moment, I'll run through. Reigns versus Edge. Lashley versus McIntyre. The Fiend versus Orton. Sasha versus Bianca. Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley, which is Triple H's wish. Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon. And Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and Morrison.
Bro, just saying that. Just every time I just hear Bad Bunny, I'm like, really, bro? Like, really?
Yeah, I mean, he's got that 24/7 belt now, and he wore it. He took it to Saturday Night Live.
What a cluster to get to that card, Billy. Oh, my God.
I'm going to take a picture of my board and send it to you so you can use it on Twitter.
Well, guys, that's it, man. That's what you get on the platforms, bro. RussosBrand.com, Patreon.com/RussoTWC. Bro, this is the tip of the iceberg. There's other shows on the platforms. The great Stevie Ray from Harlem Heat. The great Goldilocks, the first backstage performer at TNA. Bro, you've got Taylor Hendricks. You got Dutch Mantel, bro. You've got Tom Pritchard. Bro, you've got Shane. You got Shane Douglas, bro. The heat hits just keep coming. Bro, Kevin Sullivan. This is just a sampling of what you'll get, guys, if you try us out. Less than a cup of coffee a week. RussosBrand.com, Patreon.com/RussoTWC. Bro, try us. You'll like us.